One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The HIV epidemic is not over. HIV is still here.
The face of HIV is so diverse.
The biggest thing to reduce HIV stigma is just to talk about it. Testing and PrEP and HIV treatment and how effective it is today.
Undetectable equals untransmittable. Whether you're positive or negative, there's not a wrong door. Whether it's testing or whether it's treatment, do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about HIV testing, treatment, and prevention at doitforyoumc.org.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Yo, what's happening, Rush Nation? We are back. It's a muggy Monday evening. I was going to start this in some form of old-time American newsreader after listening to a podcast this morning, but I didn't have the gall to do it. I thought about it, and then I thought, no, I just don't have that in me. If you're watching on the YouTube or Twitter or wherever it is you're watching live, you will see we have a guest. Before we get to today's guest, Big Man, how are you doing? Happy Monday.
Thanks, mate. You did a really good job without me last week. The wife decided that we would go away for a few days to the coast, which was lovely. And I got a year older since the last show I did, which, you know, I've now got to the stage where I have been out of secondary education longer that I was alive up until the point where I graduated. So that really sucks. And then a player came on for England called Jude Bellingham, who is only 17. And I'm like, well, I'm over double his age. That really hurt a lot. So I feel really old today. But other than that, good. And I can't wait for today's show because it's going to be immense. And it's just good to be back with a bit of rest. Thought I was going to get killed on holiday, not going to lie. There was a bit of an incident at the house we were staying at where the people who were next to us in the house, they had basically controlled the main house. We had like the wing and they were playing music outside. And it was basically, it's like a soundtrack that if Psycho had met Jurassic Park with like the psychedelic like screeching. And the guy was playing that while he was filming something on his camera of two women that were sitting on a step. And I was like, this just doesn't sound good. And that went on for about an hour, at around 11 o'clock at night. And then at 2:30 in the morning, there's a knock on the door, which connects the two houses. It was locked. And I'm like, oh my God, he's coming to kill us. He's got a knife. He's got an axe. He's got something. Didn't happen. I'm here, but I'm not going to lie. It was scary.
I would have run. I would have packed up what I could grab in 20 seconds and I've been out the bedroom window, down the drainpipe and hasta la vista. Ladies and gentlemen, and that is the longest time ever today's guest has never said a word for. Ladies and gentlemen, Amazon bestselling author, returning guest, author of the Fantasy Black Book, one of our top dudes, Joe Mann, Joe Pizzapia, everybody. Welcome back, bud. How you doing?
Oh, thanks for having me, everybody. This is the American News Guy desk. This just in, Murph is old, and he had somehow avoided being murdered on vacation. Back to you, Stocks. No, it's It's very exciting to be back with you guys as always. You know, you guys are personal favorites of mine, and I'm glad that Murph is still alive. That's always a good thing. And again, it's nice to be back and talking football and feel so much more confident. You know, like last summer, I feel like we were talking about football. There was that, well, I hope so. I hope it all happens. But now it just seems like everything's going to be fine. We're going to go through with it and everything's going to be okay. As long as you're not a Packer fan, you feel pretty good about where things are right now in life.
Do you ever feel good about being a Packer fan?
I think if you're a Packer fan, you're better off than most others. I mean, it could be a lot worse. It could be a Jet fan. You know, it's been a rough go for them, a Browns fan.
I'm going to stand up for this because like things like Jets and that, you get hope every year because
Do you get hope as a Jet fan? I don't know about that.
Well, it is. You've got a new quarterback. You get a new quarterback every couple of years, so that brings along some hope.
That's true.
You get some new weapons. You get a new coach every couple of years. So, you know, you do get these periods of hope. Bengals, I mean, look, they got, you know, 2 years ago, they absolutely stunk the place out, and then they get Joe Burrow, and you know, they've got all this quartet of weapons now. It's amazing. Jacksonville Jaguars, again, they've stunk for a couple of years. They get Trevor Lawrence. They've now got all this. I mean, Urban Meyer's going to ruin it, but hey, for the short period of time that they got a little bit of hope, they've got it. The Packers fans, like, I don't know what it is. It's basically, it's like being a Saints fan. It's the same thing.
It is.
You kind of know you're going to be okay, but you're never going to win it all. So you're just just waiting.
You know you're going to be playing football in January, but you know it's going to end poorly. Yes, that's accurate. And
it's like Jeff Fisher is controlling both those teams.
Well, you know, if that's the case, they're all just 7-9. So at least the Packers are in the playoffs at that point. But I still think it's all a bunch of nonsense. I keep saying,
of course it is.
He's going to come back and play. If he doesn't, I would be shocked. I mean, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're really going to go and play for Denver? I mean, really, is that what you're going to do?
Steady, Joe.
Come on. No offense, but he's not going to do that. And if he does, fine. I want to watch. I want to see it happen.
You and me both.
I mean, like, I think everybody's dream is to go and play for Vic Fangio when he finally...
Right. Yeah, the most boring offense of the planet. That's where he wants to go play.
No. It's not more boring than... It's not great. I'll give you that. But there's teams out there that it's not better than.
The keys in the paws. Everything can be said without saying a word.
The only team you could argue have got a worse offense than Denver is Atlanta, with the news that Calvin Ridley has had an operation on his foot, which means that their wide receiver one right now is Russell Gage, and their wide receiver two is, I don't know, Kyle some Pitts. Dude that they haven't signed. Kyle Pitts.
True.
I mean, it's Hayden Hurst's season. Get him while you can, because he's going to be an absolute
steal. It's just a cleanup, so hopefully the Ridley thing is not a... You know, this is that time of year, too, where every little bit of news gets hyperventilated about, and you got to be really careful. Because, like, why would every coach come out and say, yes, this person's going to be a huge part of this offense, and, yeah, we're going to use him all the time? Like, no, why would you tell everybody that? It just doesn't make any sense. There's just a lot of things right now where you just got to... There's nothing else to do except hyperventilate about every little tidbit, because everyone's just anticipating. Well, we got, like, 13 weeks to go. Just pace yourselves, everybody. Just you know, when somebody tears an ACL, then we start talking about that. Then that's significant. Up until you get to the real significant things, you just kind of just go steady as she goes, you know?
Absolutely. But anyway, good to have you back. Some significant news since you were last on. You last covered the Super Bowl, or previewed it with us.
Yes, that's right.
Where, you know, you incorrectly predicted that the Kansas City Chiefs would win.
I did.
And that's okay. You know,
me and everybody else. And I should have known, you can't stop Tom Brady. Nobody should know better than me. And if you remember on that show, I said, this hurt. I can't do it. Like, it hurts to do it. I can't, you know, I don't know if they match up very well and all these things. Tom Brady, you know, telling Tom Brady he can't. The next thing you know,
he just does it. But obviously, since then, and about the week after that happened, you announced you joined the Fantasy Pros team. So for those who weren't aware, you've obviously joined the team there. You've taken over as sort of the lead host there. I love the show. We talk a lot. I shared my thoughts with you, but. How's it gone for you? Like, obviously, that big step of moving over there and having to tame Tags and Yates and sort of keeping a leash on them so they don't run wild.
That's what they pay me for, to keep those guys in check. And Dan Harris every day, too. He and I do a baseball show every morning, and we do the football shows every day. Now we got a football show, which has been great. I love it. And everyone's been terrific there. There's been a lot of support. And one of the things that I went over there, because they gave me a little bit of – as they like to say in the wrestling business, creative control. And that's a big deal for me at this point in my old age. I want to have a say in kind of how we do things, because I've been around the block more than once, and I feel like I kind of know what works and what doesn't. And they've been so gracious to let me kind of implement ways of doing things and change some things around and doing more shows, but not quite as long. And, you know, kind of the way we approach certain things and bringing more bits and more fun and stuff like that. Because I think, you know, there's lots of great information out there. You separate yourselves from the personalities. Like, that's what people come back for. And I think when you have such great information that guys like Tags and Yates bring to the show, and we get such great guests in there as well, and they let me take over booking the guests, which has been super fun too. And it's been a wonderful experience so far. It's hard to believe it's only 4 months in, because it feels like a lot longer for some reason, maybe just because I'd been around there so much. But it's very exciting, and I really enjoyed my time there so far. And I think we're just hitting our stride, which is great, because when we're in the thick of football season and August draft prep and all that stuff, I think it's going to be really, really special stuff.
And that links perfectly back to my American newsreader from Friday's pod, where Dan Harris was described as an American newsreader voice. So I wanted
absolutely.
I will share that with
him tomorrow morning, first thing.
Yeah, we do. We do like Dan too. Let's talk some Black Book, Joe. You know, we've had you on every year talking about it. How's it going this year? And what's new for 2021? Anything exciting that you haven't had so far?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I mean, what's exciting is, you know, it's always exciting to get the book out. Oh, look, there it is too. Murph's got it. Look at that. The sexy book there. He's holding
every,
in his hand.
Every year I buy this. You know, people say like, oh, you know, you promote this. Do you really buy it? I buy this every year. I've got every edition.
That's why I love you, baby. But it's, you know, what I'm so proud of is this team of Avengers that I've assembled this year. I think that's what's so great. I think we've got a really good fresh mix of people. Some of the old, some of the new too. I brought in Andrew Erickson, who I've worked with a ton at Pro Football Focus, Michael Florio from NFL, who is a friend of mine for years that we used to do shows together back at Fantasy Network. And it's so glorious to watch him, you know, blowing up on NFL Network now. I turn on the TV and I see him. It's just brilliant. And you know, Tags and Yates have come in too, and they've done a section with me. It's just terrific. And I think that having that group and having such a diverse group too of people too is great. You know, Lauren Carpenter and Kate Magic are in there too. And we have all those people that are just so passionate, and they're so excited to be a part of it. And I think that kind of jumps off the page when you're reading their work and they go, oh, look at this. This is, you know, no matter what assignment I give to anybody, they're just like, yep, I got it. And they go and they bring it back. And it's a wonderful thing. And the success that people have had with it over the years is really stunning. And it's off to a really good start this year. And when you know, it's like having a child every year. It's like, you know, you birth the book, it's out there. And then after that, you're just kind of grateful that it's done and it's out there. And you're just like, okay, now I can only control so much, but I'm very, very grateful for the team that I have, because they are a very special group.
It's fantastic. I was reading it when I took it away with me here. And you know, I was reading through it. It's as you say, it's a great read every year. It's just, it offers so much. Even whether you're starting out, whether you're quite new, whether it's something you've been doing for years, what I like about it is easily digestible. You can, yeah, you know, go to the different chapters that you're really interested in. And it just covers a bit of everything. You've got a bit of strategy mixed in with, do you want player advice? Do I go with player A or player B? You know, and then, of course, we got RPV, which is just, you know, it's incredible. It's an incredible tool. You know, explain that to maybe the new listeners. Sure. Who, you know, I know we've had you on. You've talked about this again, but we've got new listeners. We want people to obviously really enjoy
it. But I love
to
do it, because it's, you know, I think what gets whitewashed a little bit, and there's not enough of it, is the discussion of strategy. You know, there's a lot of great analysis. There's not a great discussion of league-specific strategy. 10 team versus 12 team, PPR versus Superflex versus standard versus best ball, like versus auction. Like, how do you account for all these things? And what we try to do with the Black Book, you know, we have standalone chapters for, this is how you approach and build core roster strength for this. This is how you go in PPR. This is how you should approach your Superflex. And every year it changes, because every year the player pool changes and you have to kind of react off that. But what relative position value does is it gives you this knowledge of the board, and you look at it differently, because rankings are great, tiers are better. But quantified rankings and tiers, where you can actually see the percentage drop off at RB1 in the top 12 guys, and understanding, you know, where you can build roster strength and advantage, because fantasy is about me outproducing you from as many spots on my roster as I can. If I could do that successfully, and repeat it every week, I'm going to be successful. I'm probably going to be a playoff team. Injuries happen, things happen, but at least you're putting yourself in a good start. And it's also useful when you're evaluating trades and you realize, well, does this player really move the needle? Most of the time, new people, veteran people playing, they make a mistake where they keep trying to fill roster spots instead of creating roster strength. And roster strength is how you win leagues. Making sure you fill this spot and that spot, that's a whole bunch of nonsense. And understanding, like, I can do that with two wide receivers early in the draft. I could do that with a big-time quarterback. I could do that, you know, if I decide at this juncture these two running backs make sense here. They're above the fantasy league average. And understanding running back's not a position. RB1 is. Most teams are going to have one. RB2 is a position. How does that stack up? How do we approach it? How do you make a strategy for it? And that's what we try to do in the Black Book. And it, people must be having success, man, because we sell a whole lot of books every year. I mean, it must be working.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because we had Michael Lombardi on last summer, and he was telling us about, you know, in the draft room, in an NFL draft room, you got a horizontal board and a vertical board, right? And he says it's not something that gets covered on a lot of things. And then it was when I read the Black Book last year, it made me think about that in terms of what RPV is. Because what most people do when they do tiers, they think about, I need to probably get a running back this round because the drop up, the run is coming. If I get one now, I'm not going to miss out on this. And I look at my tiers and I've got, you know, maybe three guys left in the tier and it's 11 picks until I pick again. So I need to get a guy in this tier. But what RPV does is with the horizontal side of it is actually, well, you could miss down into your next tier and the RPV effect might be 3 or 4 points. Whereas actually you might have a wide receiver there who's 12 points better off. Right. The next guy.
And that's
the
whole point. It's that, yeah, you know, you try to make people understand that some players just don't move the needle. There's just not a lot of separation. Like at wide receiver two, they're kind of clustered together. They're all kind of the same. So why reach for them when you could pick another, maybe there's a tight end there and a Darren Waller or somebody like that moves the needle. And that's the whole point. And it doesn't bear you down too. I hate that. I hate, like, we have so many analytics now for all the sports, and baseball is the worst about it, that it's just, it bogs everybody down. This is simple. It's a percentage. There's positive, there's negative. Like, that's it. You see the board, you see exactly what it looks like. And I update the RPV throughout the summer and stuff like that when people subscribe to it, which is helpful too, because there will be changes and injuries and things like that that happen. But, you know, it is such an easy, simple way of going, oh, there's the value. And it allows you to kind of move around through the drafts and move around through trades and really evaluate all your rosters. And most importantly, you can adapt it to every format, league depth, style that you play in. Because I think that's what's so important too is, you know, there, you need something that's going to travel with you because everybody's playing different formats, right? Who's in a tight end premium league and who's got a draft for a super flex and who's got a draft for a PPR next week. I mean, most people play multiple leagues now who are passionate about it. So you need something that's going to cover everything.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it's important that people understand that concept of, you know, not shoehorning yourself into a strategy. We talk about it all the time. And, you know, we talk about, you know, best player available. And actually, how do you quantify what best player available is? That's what RPV does best, because it will tell you who best player available is, because it's not necessarily about who gets you the most points. It's actually going to be the person who is going to get you the most points over the next available guy.
Right. Because, at that position. And that's what's so important. It's understanding. And then it tells you how important the positions are as a whole, because you'll see the bottom drop out at tight end one into like the minus 30s or something like that. You go, my God, like if you don't get one, then you might, why reach at all? Get a couple, maybe you hit, you play matchups. And that's a thing we talk about in the book too. It really is trying, like I said, to make everybody confident, because every draft is totally different about how much you mock and how much you want to do about it. At the end of the day, there's only two things you can be: prepared and flexible. If you can be prepared and flexible, you will crush every draft. Everything else is just, you know, it's all theoretical until you're in the room. And then you really got to, you know, be that person who's in control. And I feel like that's what it gives me. Like RPV always gave me, before I even wrote the books, this is what I did for all fantasy, but it gave me, like, I'm in control of the board. I see the board different than everybody else. And that always allowed me to, you know, excel in those leagues that I played in.
So just on that point of tight end scoring, standard scoring, Travis Kelce, 76% RPV as the tight end one, obviously tied 11th for joint 11th. Robert Tonyan, Mike Gesicki minus 31%.
Right. And here's the stunning thing about that. That's just, I mean, he is 70% better than the fantasy league average tight end one. Just to kind of drag that home for people. So when you say Travis Kelce's great, well, what does that mean? Travis Kelce should go in the first, 15 picks. Okay, what does that mean? Here you go. I'll tell you what it means. He is literally that much more productive than the middle tier of tight ends that are going to be run out there on a weekly basis on your league. That's an advantage. And if you can get that advantage on your team, especially in auction, my goodness, that allows you to do a lot of things. But if you're just in a snake draft, you can get that. There's ways, because especially now the wide receiver pool is so deep, you can wait on wide receiver if you want, and you can find a bunch of guys, especially in full point PPR, the Deontay Johnsons of the world, the guys who work in the slot, who can really kind of make up ground for you in those, four, five, six rounds or three, four, five rounds and things like that. So there's ways to do every strategy right. And then there's ways to approach every format correctly. And we are trying to teach everybody how to do that. That's what Black Book's about.
Joe, I've got a question. Have you ever drafted in a 22 man league?
22. No, I'm in a 32 team dynasty league with Bob Harris and Mike Dempsey and all those crazy lunatics. Waldman's in it. Like it's IDP dynasty 32 teams. So everybody, there's two copies of every player. Okay. Just to set it up. So that's the deepest league that I play in, because it's also got the IDP in it. So there's basically, it's a 16 team leagues basically, but it is crazy. It's madness. I know. Why are you doing a 22 team league, and why are you doing that to yourself? Why are you abusing yourself?
I've been invited to one for charity, and there's no copies. It's just 22 men, and the scoring is bananas.
Advice to you, don't build around running back.
to be fair, I won a 20 man league last year. So
I played in a 20 once. I think I did. I 16 is usually that max that you find industry wise if you're gonna max out in a league.
Don't know. I'm drafting at 6 as well, so I got a decent first round pick, because if you're drafting at 22, you've essentially got an end of the second, beginning of the third round pick for your first round pick. So I've done all right at 6, but I don't know whether to go till the elite running backs will be gone by then. I don't know, because the scoring is so bananas. I don't know whether to go quarterback or Travis Kelce at 6.
Well, if Kelsey's there, here's the thing. It's 22. You're going to get 22 deep into the quarterback pool. There's a lot of good young quarterbacks too. So if you get stuck on quarterback,
you have to draft two.
Yeah, you have to. But I think what you want to be able to do then is understand, okay, if I do take Kelce, then I want to make sure when I do take a quarterback soon after, I take a shot on a Fields or a Lance or somebody else that I think is going to play at some point this year, because maybe that's a boost to you in the second part of the year. You have to start almost thinking about the season as a whole, as opposed to just the first week of what my team's going to look like. You have to kind of plan it out and say, what do I think the season's going to evolve like? And I think that's the way I would approach it. But yeah, wide receivers and quarterbacks are going to hold up much better in terms of, when that running back goes down, if you got that guy, it's going to be real tough to replace that on the wire. That's going to be tough.
Yeah, I did all right last year, my 20 team. I was just looking it up. I had Tannehill, Jonathan Taylor, Alvin Kamara, Deontay Johnson, Brandon Cooks, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift, DJ Moore, Joey Sly. I picked up Jalen Hurts off waivers.
Well, Stocks, who was your running back you took first, if I may ask?
Yeah.
Murph. Oh, no, I haven't done the draft yet. The draft's next Monday. No.
Oh, I thought you already made the first pick already.
That's why I was wondering. Like, I'm at 1-6. If Zeke's there, you get 2 points for a rushing first down. Like, Christian McCaffrey slate to score 1,400 points. So
that's the other thing, too, is the scoring systems people come up with are just.
Yeah.
But this is, again, here's a perfect example, right? If you take the RPV formula, which I give you in the book, it's very simple formula. You could drop it into a spreadsheet, take the projected points. And you can see very carefully, well, okay, this is where the league is won and lost with this position and this scoring. And there you go. There's a perfect example of a tie-in of why it's so useful. Because then you go, oh, well, it's clearly a running back heavy league, because look at these ridiculous points. So you know what? I'm just going to load up there and I'll figure out quarterback later. Or maybe because of the receptions, the way they work, it's a totally different other gamble. That's what you need to do. And it's very easy. You take the formula, drop it in there. You put the points in, because it's not going to be perfect, but projected points are good enough to work with. and then you'll have at least a strategy you can work off for the first six rounds.
Yeah. I'm concerned at 1-6 if I don't
I'm
take a running
for
back.
You.
Oh, thank you. I will let you know. I will let you know how it's going. Don't worry about that. Yeah, if I don't take a running back at 1-6 and everyone else goes double running back, there'll be nothing left by the time it gets
you
back
look,
to
at
me.
Six, you know, you're looking at the Chubbs of the world too, guys like that. Like I would take Nick Chubb, the first guy that pops to me.
If Zeke's there at 1-6, I'm pulling the trigger because it's That's 2 points. Too. It's 2 points for rushing first down.
It's locked in volume.
Yeah. I just hope that the run doesn't start early and that he goes before gets one of them top
five. I doubt
five.
It because someone will reach and take Taylor. So if everyone goes running back, you know, it'd be CMC, Cook, Henry, Taylor.
Kamara.
You'll have Zeke or Chubb, and that's a heck of a way to start. Yeah. I would take the younger guy personally because that's just the way the NFL seems to be trending in that direction anyway. Yeah, I love Zeke and all, but I'm
like, don't forget to get yourself a rushing QB as well.
Good point.
Yeah,
well, it's 2 points for rushing touchdown. You get someone like Jalen Hurts or Kyler Murray, or
yeah, well, I'm not sure either of those guys are going to be there at the 390
well, but,
pick.
But here you go.
Second.
You might be surprised. Like he's saying, because of that little wrinkle in the scoring, if you use the RPV formula and you see like what those projected points are going to be, and then where the drop off is, maybe he's right. Maybe the Kyler Murrays and the rushing quarterbacks and Lamar Jackson, maybe they're infinitely better than McCaffrey, and people don't realize it, or separating from the rest of the herd at the position too, which is again, when you're 22 deep, you know, that's all the quarterbacks and then some. So that's going to be I hope you got a full pint for that one.
Well, considering it's 22 teams and there's three continents involved, I think it could be more than one pint because it could take quite a while. Joe, listen, we've got a copy of the black book, that we're going to give away. Mm-hmm. Murph has generously purchased it. Murph, tell me the details here. How are we going to get this away?
So we're going to give away one. If we get over 25 people by Sunday night, I'm going to dip into the pocket and get another one. So make it two, right? Because and we're helping Joe out because it's all sales for Joe.
And what is this to do? What is the thing to get involved in this?
All you got to do, really simple, follow you, uh-huh. Follow us.
Okay.
And you got to put the hashtag I want to join Team Black Book.
Okay. Or even Team Black Book, put that out there. I'll tell you what, I'll do a free subscription to the RPV updates for whoever that person is too. How's that? Whoever you pick.
There Good? We go.
And if you get 50, I'll give a digital copy of the Black Book away to somebody for
Kindle. Oh, look at that.
Let's
there we go.
Let's push the Rush Nation. Let's go.
Let's push it out. So up to 25, one copy with the RPV update. Over 25, two copies RPV updates. If you get over 50, Joe's going to throw in a digital copy. So you can tell all your friends
because it just means there'll
be more people to go. Let's go. Get involved.
100, I come to your house and hang out. And we talk.
You well, that's an expensive out. Trip.
That's yeah. special.
Especially with flights at the moment. But listen, it's really simple. Follow Joe. Follow us, which you should be. If you're not following either of us, you've probably done it wrong anyway. hashtag I want to join Team Black Book. If for whatever reason you're drafting this week, you don't want to wait, and I don't blame you. It is on Amazon. We've got a copy of it on the overlay. It is, I think it's £10, 50-ish, that sort of figure. It's great value for money every single year. As I've shown you, I buy it every year. Absolutely worth its weight in gold. I think the digital copy is a little bit less. And definitely get a copy. Hopefully you'll win one, but if you don't, but do enter. You never know. Father's Day is coming up. So, hey,
that's right.
Secure yourself a Father's Day gift. You could just apologize, say it's coming late. Get yourself a copy. It's going to be, it's great. Love it every year. Glad that we can do our bit to promote it because, yeah, we really believe in it. But the other reason we wanted to get you on, other than pushing the book, is we've been doing a bit of a strategy series. We've been trying to get our listeners a bit more ready for the season. We've had some phenomenal guests on to talk about, you know, Jordan McNamara to talk about dynasty strategy, Drew Davenport, Football Guys, to talk about auctions. We've had we've had so many people. The guys of the FF Hustle, they did us a solid and talked about best ball, Dwayne McFarlane and And Brian Drake. So, you know, we've had
Drake's a good dude,
a great dude. So to have those guys on, you know, and they're great friends of ours, their 100th episode's coming up as well. So, you know, shout out to them guys for doing 100 episodes. We want to get you on as the quarterback guy, talk about Superflex. So we want to
jam
exactly that. you are the quarterback guy. You never hand off the quarterback section of the Black Book.
It's no, you that never does it. Will. Ever. So it's where everything starts and ends though. That's the thing. It's like, if you understand the offenses by understanding the quarterbacks, and everything else is a ripple effect after that.
Yeah, and I think that's key. And I think, you know, we want to do this because more and more people are playing Superflex. I think Rich, our Dynasty Rich, he shared with us the fact that from DLF data, most startups this year have been Superflex. Mm-hmm. And it very much is becoming the new normal. So I know you know why, but explain to people who perhaps are listening to this and play their very comfortable 18, 12 team, 10 team, one QB standard or PPR scoring league, why Superflex is trending in this direction and why it really is the new normal in the industry and why you should be playing it.
Well, almost a decade ago, I've been pushing. That's how long for, you know, I've been pushing in the Black Book about Superflex. And I remember writing a manifesto about it a few years ago, like maybe 6 years ago, saying, this should be the new standard. This is what we should be playing. Why are we fighting over 98-point running backs when there's 200-point quarterbacks on the waiver wire? This is stupid. It's also not reflective of the league. It's also less fun. I think all 10-team leagues should be, I'll take it a step further, two quarterback. Not even super flex. So they should be standard two quarterback. Now let's really throw a wrinkle. Let's go deeper into the pool. Because if you don't have a big enough league, you can at least, you know, challenge yourself by the depth of knowledge of the pool and make it two flex positions and two quarterback. And now you've really got a fun league, even though it's only 10 people. But with the super flex, I think what's so great about it is it opens up a whole different philosophy of how you can approach the draft. You're not locked in so much to ADP and a lot of the group think you can really, you know, let the board come to you. You can, you know, draft according to how it's unfolding at the moment. But also I wrote about this last year in the quarterback section. I did another manifesto about how, you know, the top quarterbacks have separated themselves, you know? So what used to be, well, I'm in a single quarterback league, I can wait. It's kind of changed, like, and they're more protected than ever. So in terms of return on your investment as an asset, on a weekly basis, they're safer. They score more points. And then you got guys like Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray, where the offense literally, all Josh Allen, the scoring runs through them. All of the scoring, one way or another, pretty much runs through them with the occasional J.K. Dobbins run or something like that. Mm-hmm. For the most part, they are in control. They're getting a piece of all of it. So that's changed too. So the more athletic quarterback, but what's so fun in Superflex is once again, it's, you know, you don't have to go for that early running back if you don't want it. You go for that early quarterback, you build your team differently. You build it through the air, which is, it's fun to open up to more philosophies, challenge yourself, but also, you know, in terms of investment, look at the first round last year, right? What is the worst first round ever in terms of injuries? The only guy, I'm trying to think of, Davante Adams made it out alive. Everybody else either sucked or got hurt or a combination of both, right? Davante Adams made it out alive. Dalvin Cook missed a game here, though. My boy, Derrick Henry.
He was dead in the playoffs.
He was dead to play, right? Derrick Henry, no, nothing can stop Derrick Henry. Like, but really, it was terrible there. At some point, somebody was hurt or some kind of issue, right? In Superflex, that board's totally different. You're going to get Mahomes, Allen, you know, Kyler Murray, you know, maybe you're even pushing Lamar and things like that, Dak Prescott into that conversation in the first round and certainly top five for the elite quarterback. So it changes the whole dynamic of the game we play. It's more scoring. It's more fun. It's more of a challenge. And once again, it changes the philosophical approach, which I think is really great. And I think it's high and long time overdue. And then you got to think about drafting that third one. Can I get a third one for the bye weeks, or am I going to play a wide receiver or running back in that flex spot? So there's just so much that goes into it. And I think it's such a great challenge. And I think, you know, if you score it properly too, where, you know, the quarterbacks are worth a fair amount, then you really do bring something else to the table. And it's just more fun. It's everybody knows the quarterback on every team. Quarterback is the gateway drug to football. Quarterback is the gateway to fantasy. We should be utilizing the position more, and that's what Superflex does. And I think it's an important thing that we do.
I mean, it restores the parity, doesn't it? It basically makes quarterback the most important position to draft in a fantasy draft because it's the most important position in the game. So, yeah, you know, it restores that parity to where, as you say, you can't get away with drafting a QB in the 11th round anymore. Like, you have to get one, two, three guys, four maybe, depending on how you want to approach it. So let's talk about you and your approach. QB one. So, you know, when you're thinking about your first QB, and obviously, you know, you're very much, you know, similar to me and to a lot of people that, you know, you don't go in with a defined strategy. You're not going right round one. Right. I'm getting quarterback no matter what. You're going to see where the chips fall, where the board falls. Mm-hmm. So breaking it down into like typical ADP, mm-hmm, wherever your first third of the first round, second third of the first round, and the last third of the first round, where are you considering taking that QB? If we were looking at the ADP right now, where you've got, you know, in those first six picks, very yeah, possibly and AD, those
and
first
let me,
three.
Let go. Me drive home too for this, Mark. ADP is a suggestion.
Yeah,
it is the group think, and I think when we get locked into like all of a sudden you're wrong if you think differently too, but that's what happens to people. You know, they continue to say, well, this is how it is, and this is what I'm supposed to do, and that's why I love auction, because auction really, I mean, it's your budget versus my budget, and we'll see at the end of the day who's smarter. And that's why I'm all about that, you know, whereas to a certain extent, any snake draft you do, you end up basically kind of sort of beholden to the ADP to a certain extent, because there is sort of a collective idea of the value on the board. But for me, I would still take the first, like McCaffrey, Cook, and Henry, I still put as that group of running backs. And then this is, you know, how I have it straight from the Black Book too, because I have, then after that is Mahomes. And after that, you have up for debate. You could have Taylor, Kamara, Saquon, Chubb. You could go with those guys, or you could go with Josh Allen. It all depends on how you want to, you know, kind of make that up. I have no problem taking a quarterback in the first round. I typically like to, if I can, especially if I'm drafting towards the bottom, I like to go skill position and quarterback. Not necessarily in that order. Once again, it depends on how it falls. But I'd like to kind of – I'm not somebody who would double up on elite quarterbacks necessarily unless the scoring – dictated that I should, and people aren't realizing that the scoring is, you know, if I pair Dak Prescott and I don't know Kyler Murray together and it's going to win me that league without any doing anything else, well, that's what I'm going to do. But I think that, you know, top five, I think it's Allen, I think it's Mahomes, you can make the conversation for them. After that, in the first round, you can make a conversation for Kyler Murray, you can make a conversation, Lamar's a tricky one there. It depends once again on the scoring. I don't have a problem with it. Dak Prescott's another one too, where I think, you know, I think Dak might finish as QB1 this year. Yeah. I think that's very feasible. And people forget just 2 years ago, he almost had 5,000 yards passing. And then now we got another game and, you know, he's healthy and CeeDee Lamb's got another year under his belt. I mean, it's going to be crazy how good I think that offense could be, but I think that's the way I approach it. You know, I think those are the quarterbacks in that conversation. And then after that, you know, the nice thing too, is that Superflex also tends to push another round or so for a lot of guys in ADP. So guys that would have been second round or lend a second round start to go to middle to end a third round. So you can make up ground, especially at wide receiver. That's where you can really make it up. The wide receiver pool is so deep. And if it is a full point PPR, now you're really opening up things for yourself at running back and at wide receiver, because there's different ways to get your points. They don't all have to be the bell cow running backs. You can find some guys like, I think the Travis Etienne's of the world are going to catch a whole lot of balls this year and be very good in that. And I think there's ways to figure that out. So that's kind of my approach. Just typically speaking, there's guys in the first round conversation, guys at the end of the first round, beginning of the second conversation. And then there's nothing wrong with going, you know, three position players and then the skill set players, and then going doubling up in quarterback 4 or 5 with a Tannehill, if he's still there, or, maybe you go with two boring old farts. You go with the Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford. You know what? If you got Christian McCaffrey and Najee Harris and something else, and then you go with two other, you know, an Allen Robinson, and then all of a sudden you end up with those two guys, the old boring, you know, stand pocket quarterbacks. I think you could do a lot worse than Brady and Matt Ryan or Stafford or something like that as your duo. The trick is to try to keep everything above that fantasy league average as much as possible whenever you're drafting.
So does taking your second one, you mentioned like the later guys for your second, does taking your second one, the time you take them, determine when after you've taken your first one. So let's say you've taken a Mahomes in the middle of the first, say. Do you then grab your second one later, or?
It's a good question, actually, Stocks. For me, I don't like to leave a super flex without two quarterbacks in the first five rounds. That's typically speaking. Now, when I get them, that's up for debate, depending on draft spot, depending on how the draft unfolds. But I think you're putting yourself at a potential deficit if you leave that fifth round without two, because then you're starting to get into that other tier that you really, you know, you're in that Derek Carr pool. Or you, I don't know if you want to be in that car pool. I don't know if that's the car pool you want to be in, if that's the lane you want to be driving. He's fine. I mean, he's, you know, he's your, you know, again, kind of average guy, surprisingly better than people realized last year at times. But I think that once again, we talk about the separation of the elite. They're a whole other tier unto themselves. So what used to be a big glob of, you know, pocket passers who are all very good, it's not the same anymore. There's guys who are like a player and a half. Lamar Jackson 2 years ago was two players. You know, and the same thing you could say of for Kyler Murray at a certain, you know, he was on pace for 4,000 yards and 1,000 yards rushing. That's never been done in the NFL. And there's a really good chance he does it this year. I mean, really good. So that's some stunning stuff right there. So yeah, having the mobile quarterbacks, having those kind of guys available to you and making sure that you don't wait too long at quarterback. Again, it's okay to wait, but then double up or, you know, make sure you have a plan because, you know, you don't know when the kids are going to play. You don't know when Trey Lance is going to show up or Fields are going to show up. You don't know what Wilson or, you know, I think Lawrence is going to be fine right out of the gate, but you know, you got more questions there with some of those guys.
100%. So the common group think at this point, going back to fantasy football strategies, there's a running back dead zone round about the fourth round, basically. For super flex and quarterbacks, do you have that same feeling? Because I have a line, and my line effectively is Derek Carr. Derek Carr is the last guy I want to have as my QB2. And like, really, I don't really want to get there. But I'm at the point where if he goes and I don't have a second QB, which is extremely rare for me, but if I am there, I will almost punt the position and like just wait until I get. I at that point, I'm thinking I'm waiting another three or four rounds, and I'm going to just double up and take a few guys. Just to...
the difference is though, it's you can try that. But the problem is like if you don't account for it, once again, like I said, you're going to be behind. And then the problem is too, those running backs you're taking, the injury quotient's higher. The job security is, I mean, Mike Davis sounds like a good idea right now. I don't know what he's going to really do in that offense. I don't think anybody really knows for sure. There's a safe grouping. I feel like there's some guys that kind of get overlooked at running back, like Chris Carson, who's safe. He's not spectacular. He's pretty safe. I think David Montgomery, it's kind of safe. I have him higher than most people just because I think he's kind of safe, you know, and I think there's nothing wrong with that. And then you add the PPR, you know, there's other guys like the Kareem Hunts of the world who are going to enter into it a little bit more. You can get away with some things at running back. I think the recent Javonte Williams news is really interesting, and that's a player I've been very high on, and I'm kind of annoyed that we're hearing this news because I was getting him much cheaper. So it's the Travis Etienne's, the guys who you think can catch some footballs. It's also maybe taking some shots later on guys like Trey Sermon as the season goes on, starting to maybe emerge in offenses. So everything.
Javonte Williams is another one. Cause I personally don't think Melvin Gordon is a thing.
I don't either at this age and the suspension possibly. And you know, he breaks down at the end of seasons, consecutive years. I'm with you on that. I think the best thing you can do, like I said, from an investment standpoint is make sure you get quarterback on lockdown because you only get one shot every week to score. Give me those guys who are going to have transcendent big games. And once again, Allen, Murray, Lamar, they control the scoring on their team. All the scoring funnels through them for the most part. There's no great running game with the Chiefs. It doesn't exist. Clyde Edwards-Helaire could be good, but once again, he's an RB2 right now. So those are the kind of offenses where you look and you go, okay, these don't run through the running back or the wide receivers. They run through the quarterback first and foremost. And that's something I think you could hang your hat on. If you can get it in Superflex, it's a good idea to pay the premium for it.
I am a victim's the wrong word. I know that I need to go and get quarterback early. And every time I jump into a super flex, I don't. And I end up getting the last two quarterbacks available, and they are my QB1 and QB2. I know I should be taking them early. Every time I go in, I know that should be the plan, and I never, ever do. And I can't bring myself to do it, even though I know it should. I need help.
We were in a draft last year. Did you
this
think
is an intervention.
You took
this
Drew
is Locke becoming.
As your QB1, and oh. I can't remember who you took as your QB2.
Well,
and that's the thing. Like, those low-end QBs sometimes get replaced, too. That's a dangerous game as well.
In fairness, I took Drew Locke. It was this year, Murph. I took Drew Locke. I took him before Teddy B was a Bronco.
So, okay.
But my other one is Daniel Jones. So
it's a lot of turnovers. It's a lot of negative.
Yeah, but I mean, the rest of my team's great.
but here's the thing. The rest of your team might be great, but on a weekly basis, when you stack it up against the other teams, does that unique quarterback play pull them over scoring lines? And this is kind of where the DFS aspect comes in too, where you start to hyper-focus on what it looks like, you know, on a week-to-week basis. But do those other, you know, great quarterbacks, you know, maybe they have good enough running backs and wide receivers. You might have really good ones, but your quarterback plays down here. Their quarterback play is transcendent. Yeah. And if they have that transcendence, what you want, core roster strength is what you want. That's the separator. That's the thing that moves the needle. And those are the players you want to start your team with. And then you figure out your roster spots later. Like, there's a way to do everything, you know, and the place for everything and everything in its place kind of.
I will say I also have Fitzmagic, so all is not lost.
Well, I mean, all is definitely not lost then. I mean,
but I think my trouble is I get to the point where I don't know where it is, maybe round 7 or 8, and there's a few guys left, and I think people have got quarterbacks. They're not going to go for their third now, and I like to get real close to getting my fingers burnt, and it ends up losing my whole hand into the furnace real quickly because everyone takes their second or third guys, and I can't quite find the line of perfection for me yet. But I
got to be honest, I'm one of these people that really like to force it. So I'm someone that, you know, sometimes if I see myself on especially on a turn.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm on a turn and I've taken my first QB early and I've got, you know, a stud
like
running back.
Murph is such a quintessential Black Book reader because you can see him kind of lighting up when he's talking. But he's like, oh, I want to manipulate the pool and I can if I do
so
this.
So I'm going to double tap my second and third QB. Yep. Just to really force the run.
And you can at the turns. Yeah. You can absolutely do that. And I like to do it too. And that's why I don't like drafting in the middle. Middle is death for me because I don't have as much control over what I can influence the pool.
But you say that this year in the Scott Fish Bowl, I've requested and gotten the 6th spot.
I have no requests. Well, that's a weird format too. That's
what I mean. I think it's so weird with the third round reversal, with everything else going on in there. With the kicker scoring.
I just lend it all. I just say, what time is it? Where am I drafting? What's the thing? I'll show up and do it. And then
come join the Who division. I'm on my own.
I don't ever request it. I'll do anything. But the funny part is with that, like last year, here's the group think last year, right? The group think, which is that's a super flex league, if everybody recalls. Side end, you know, premium super flex, crazy, you know, whatever. Nobody wanted Josh Allen because he threw too many picks and blooded Josh Allen. That way. And you know, I think I got Josh Allen in the 5th round of that week.
God.
My team started off, I want to say, it was some kind of crazy thing. I was Saquon Barkley, then Julio, Calvin Ridley, Matt Ryan, and Josh Allen. And if that team had stayed healthy, if Saquon Barkley had played, I honestly believe I would have been in that conversation for overall. But of course, Saquon got hurt and the rest is history. Even though that team was still very good because of Josh Allen, I still, you know, I think I made the playoffs or close to it. But that's the thing. It's just like, you're always beholden to the injuries, but the group think was, oh no, don't touch Josh Allen in this format. But if you looked at all the data on Josh Allen, you saw the player getting better. There was every reason, especially the Superflex, to be like, oh my God, you're going to give me him as my 2? Yes. I mean, in Black Book, we had him as a borderline 1 and he was going as a clear 2 in that draft because of the scoring. But what they were failing to recognize is the thing I keep talking about here, which is who controls the offense. The offense filters through Josh Allen. They have no running game. It's Josh Allen. Who's the running game? Josh Allen's running game. Who's the best passer on the team? It's Josh Allen. Josh Allen scoring every touchdown in some fashion for the most part. I mean, at the end of the day, 85% of the touchdowns that team scores probably going to have Josh Allen connected to it in some way. That's a difference of what's going on now in fantasy that you have to understand and you have to start accounting for, especially in Superflex.
100%. Now, I know, you know, a lot of people preach, and I know you talked about this on your show just last week about things you shouldn't do in a draft, and one's going in with a defined strategy of zero RB or
zero wide receivers. Zero wide receivers.
Yeah.
Cop out. That's called, I don't really have a strategy. It's because I'm lazy and I don't want to be prepared enough to do something right. Hate it. Stupid.
We are an all-inclusive society.
Nope. And not for zero people. Like, get right out of my show. Get out.
Hypothetically, right? We're going to assume that everyone listening is too smart for this, but we're going to throw the hypothetical out there. Does Superflex enable that zero RB strategy a little bit more because you can, because
in a full RB point PPR, yes, because then those other guys who are receiving first backs, especially the way backfields have opened up and you see multiple backs being used and you see specific guys who are pass catching running backs. Yes, it's not a zero. It's just, it's a zero. It's just, and that's the thing I hate because people don't take it the right way. It's more of a fade strategy.
Yeah.
To continue to build relative position value at quarterback, at wide receiver, at tight end, all that stuff. And it's much more viable in a full point PPR Superflex than even in a half point. Because in a half point PPR Superflex, it's still a little bit more about touchdowns. Still a little bit more about the dudes who are scoring. And I think, you know, we get so wrapped up in so much analysis and deep stats and A dot this and all these different things. Yeah, that's all fine. But let's get simple. Let's get back to basics. And back to basics is understanding these offenses, how they run on a weekly basis. Who are the players that could win you a week? Josh Allen can win you a week. You know, certain guys can win you a week, right? I mean, I think Cam Akers could win you some weeks, but I know Kyler Murray's going to win me half a dozen. So when you're down there at the bottom of a super flex first round, it's a no-brainer to me. I'm going to take Kyler Murray every time if you give him to me. But once again, if you have a very disciplined group that you're drafting with, then you might be able to wait a little bit longer. Like super in the flex leagues that Sealy runs, where I am the 2019 champion, 2020 was a rough year for everybody. I had Dak in that league. Again, if he had stayed healthy, I'm pretty sure that again, once, you know, if, you know, but again, didn't go my way to repeat as champion, but the strategy was pretty much the same one I employed. And I got Dak, I think in the second round, I think, there's so much opportunity there if you know it's a disciplined league to take that skill position player first, then pivot to quarterback right away. You have to know the people you're playing with, and if you don't, it does make it a little bit more challenging.
What we've gleaned so far is not take a quarterback late, but get them nice and early, Joe. Apart from that, is there any sort of other advice that you would give to people perhaps who are wanting to try super flex but are a bit scared of the prospect or in a draft waiting for it to happen? Like, what advice have you got?
Yeah, my advice is do it. Jump in because it's fun. And some ways easier because there's a little less pressure. You can literally say, you know what? I'm making this investment into this team, and I think I want to have a team that's quarterback driven because, you know, outside of Dak Prescott getting hurt, you know, you look around the most of the quarterbacks, once again, it's pretty protected. I know Joe Burrow got hurt last year too, but this is why you pay attention to offensive lines and the ones that are better. And that's why you look this year in the Superflex and you see what Philip Rivers did when he went from the worst offensive line of football to the Colts. And now what Carson Wentz is going to do this year, going from the worst to the best in the Colts, right? And I think that there might be a little bit of a time like in September where there's a transition. And then when he stops, you know, seeing ghosts and hearing footsteps, maybe Carson Wentz gets back and becomes a pretty good quarterback. You got some great rookies too and some great young talent. You know, like I think Lawrence is going to come in and play right away. Don't be afraid of that grouping. Jalen Hurts is a very is a touchy point here because I think he absolutely has a lot of the upside people are talking about. My problem is new coach, new offense, new playbook, new personnel. That's a lot to all work right out of the gate. And even if it does work, where are you in the standings by the time it does? And I'm just a little hesitant. Some people want to put him at QB like 6 or 7 stuff. I have him as like the top tier-ish of like, I'd rather have Tannehill. I know that might sound crazy to some people, but I just rather would. Tannehill's another guy outside of Derrick Henry scoring a ton of touchdowns. Like that dude's, you know, figured it out in the last 2 years very quietly and hardly anybody noticed. Now more people will because Julio's there is going to put more attention. But it's putting stock in things that could be great instead of what things are very good. Give me the very good that I know that I can control a little bit, unless you're giving me the great potential at discount. That's something to always keep in mind in that format too.
100%. And then if it's a dynasty superflex, does any of the advice above change?
Yes, Dynasty Superflex, you really have to make sure you get that franchise quarterback. And I would not necessarily have to be a rookie, but you know, it's something you've really got to, you know, I would be aggressive on Trey Lance. I'm a Trey Lance guy. But you want to always build dynasty leagues in a 3-year window. Like, you want to be good for a 3-year window. Don't worry about, this team's going to be so good 6 years from now. Who cares? People could be out of that league, might not be running. You know, most dynasty leagues last 5-6 years anyway. So try to win now with an eye for the future. And I'll give you a perfect example, right? I just did a dynasty mock that somebody asked me, a startup Superflex dynasty mock. And I had the 1-1, so I took McCaffrey. And then they let Najee Harris make it back to me. And I said, well, I'm going to take Najee Harris. And then I forget what wide receiver was still there, but it was another elite wide receiver because a lot of the quarterbacks did go. So I said, okay, I'm going to do this. And then when it made it back to me, I doubled up at quarterback. I took Tannehill and Stafford. That's what made it back to me. I was like, well, I can go to war with this for the next 3 years. And you know what? Next year in the rookie draft, then I'll look at a quarterback. So the rookie draft is there to supplement you. So as you go forward, yeah, in the next couple of years, you could say, okay, you know, maybe I have a quarterback who's in his 30s. That's okay. I'll probably get a couple good years out of them. And if he starts to decline, I'll be proactive and I'll push for a quarterback and or make a trade for a young quarterback or something like that as I go. But again, you can't pass up Najee Harris there. Like, the upside of what he could be in 2 years or even this year is stunning to me. I know Tags agrees with me on the show too, and we've been talking about that quite a bit. So it's really understanding, yes, quarterback's very important. If you can get one of those premium guys, do it, especially that tier we talked about, Allen, Mahomes, great, solidify them. But if the board doesn't shape up like that, don't be afraid to then pivot and say, okay, I could end up with two low-end QB1s who are very good, who are going to be good for the next couple of years, who are ingrained in their spot, and I can live with this, and that'll be the thing that I have to address. But I'll have McCaffrey and Najee Harris going forward, and that's a pretty good start. I'm trying to remember who the wide receiver was, but once again, it was somebody I couldn't pass. Oh, I know, it was DeAndre Hopkins. They let slip. I'm sorry. I'm the 1-1. You're giving me McCaffrey, DeAndre Hopkins, and Najee Harris. It was almost like, well, how do you not take these guys? Figure out quarterback. I'm the quarterback whisperer, and I did. And I think I took Ben Roethlisberger a few rounds later too as my third quarterback. Done. You know, so I was like, I'm covered. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be Mahomes good, but I'll tell you what, if McCaffrey's McCaffrey, this is a pretty good start to a team. I'll take this team in Dynasty.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're probably pretty gutted as a mock.
and I'm the guy. I'm the QB first guy. But like I said, when the board unveils itself to you, you're going to give me Najee Harris and DeAndre Hopkins at the second and third round loop. Okay, I'm going to take that. I'll figure it out later. And I did.
I think this is really key is, you know, it's what we always preach. It's about being fluid. Mm-hmm. It's about using the tools and resources just to see how things go. Don't shoehorn yourself. Let things fall. Know your league scoring.
Right.
And identify pockets of opportunity. And if that means you have to go QB early, it makes a lot of sense. If you can hold off, but make sure you get someone. Draw yourself a line. This is literally the line where I will not cross unless something miraculous happens. Mm-hmm. And you'll be okay. And I think it's important to just pivot. Don't go in. Like, I always like to get two guys. I like to start with two QBs in the first three rounds. Typically, if things go to ADP and go to how I want.
I am too. But if you get them in the first five, that's okay too.
Exactly.
Like and that's why RPV is good, because it makes you feel confident. You're like, you know where the board is. And you can
have to see how it falls, because you can sit here and say, I'll take two QBs in the first three rounds. And then actually everyone's fading QB2.
And those are analysts who love the sound of their own voice instead of trying to help people win leagues. And they drive me crazy. my job is to win other people money, not my pride about being right and wrong about my takes and nonsense like that. Let's win. Exactly. All right. I'm like the Al Davis of fantasy football.
I love it. And speaking of winning, you know, you bought a lot of games too. You've bought a lot of games to Fantasy Pros, Fantasy Feud, or what we call it in this country, by the way, Family Fortunes.
Okay.
Because it's about making money. It's not about fighting. But, you know, you guys do you. We do
We're us. A much more violent society. It's very, very disturbing here. We've got real problems.
we thought, you know, I've listened to that, and I've been thinking, you know, I know Joe likes games. We like games.
You like games.
So we thought, or I thought, because I'm mad, to bring a classic back. Now, I looked it up in America. It was apparently called Card Sharks in the 80s.
Oh, I loved Card Sharks when I was a kid.
Brilliant. I'm so glad you said
Higher
that.
Bob. Well, lower we Bob.
Over here, it was called Play Your Cards, right?
Okay.
That's what it was called. And as you said, it's higher or lower.
Okay.
But we're not going to do it with playing cards because that's dumb. Instead, it's going to be you, Joe, the... But this time, you talk yourself all the time on your show about being the underdog, about, you know, the plucky Italian. It's always getting written
right.
off.
Like that's right, I did. And I beat Yates, didn't I?
You did beat Yates as the plucky underdog.
And well, I cover two sports. What's his excuse? Loser.
He was too busy getting verified on Twitter, Joe.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a real boy. I don't need anyone else to tell me.
But unfortunately, in this, you are not the underdog. You
are a heavy favorite. All right.
Stocks is going against you. Stocks is the underdog because he has a full-time job that isn't fantasy.
Okay.
So he doesn't spend as much time. And I've divided the categories. So basically, instead of this higher or lower of playing cards, Joe, your higher and lower is going to be quarterbacks, okay. RPV from the last five fantasy football black books.
Wow. Like on average, you mean?
It is in the percentage average, yeah. I'll give you the position, and you have to go higher or lower. No cheating.
Okay. Wow.
No, some 2021
I couldn't cheat if I wanted to. So. And I want to. Right. Believe me, I do
the
right
last
now.
Five black all right. books.
Okay, let's go.
Stocks, I didn't do RPV for you because that would be hard. given that I don't think you have all five, but even if you did, you didn't write them like Joe did. Instead, I have done ADP of quarterbacks for the last 2 years, so 2021 and 2020. Okay. So it is, you know, you have home field advantage. You know, I had to feel like Stocks, he has to have home field advantage.
That's fair.
We are playing this in England, so that's going to be it. To determine, so the rules of the game, very simple. It's going to be first to five wins in terms of you have to get five in a row. You can freeze. So you could go two or three or four in and decide, hey, I'm going to freeze. You can also change your number when it's, you know, if you freeze and then you get control of the board again, you can, you can say, right, I'll change the card or change the number and I will give you a new number and you can go higher or lower from there. And then to determine who gets control of the board, I'm going to read out a player. You're both going to guess what their ADP is. Closest
current
to ADP.
A current ADP.
Well, it might be a 2020 or a 2021 ADP, but it's going to be an ADP from Fantasy Pros, which is an aggregated ADP as well. So you can't cheat and go right. Well,
all right, let's go. Let's do it.
So let's do this.
No idea what's going on right now.
That's all right.
All you've got to do is guess higher or lower stocks. This is how you have like a 50-50 chance all the way through. You could win this in one go, and Joe might never get control of the board.
And that's just how the cookie crumbles.
So to determine who gets control of the board, gentlemen, one at a time. Who is going to get closest to Derek Carr's current 2021 ADP, according to Fantasy Pros, as of this morning?
So you
at
want
that position, you mean, or anybody?
No, as in the overall pick of the draft.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Oh yeah. We're not going positional. That's too easy. Like, I'll give you a clue. It's in the hundreds.
Thanks for the clue. I didn't realize if Derek Carr was in the hundreds.
It's plus 100. It's somewhere between 100 and 300.
Okay, cool. 299. No. Oh my goodness gracious. Okay, this is terrible audio for a podcast. I'm going to take a stab.
Yeah.
At 163.
Joe?
Wait, you want to, just so I'm sure, you want me to tell you what Carr's number is?
Yeah, what is Carr's ADP? Closest to it gets control of the board.
I'm going to say 182. Let's say that.
So Joe is closer. 203.
Oh, 203.
Joe
okay.
Carr's ADP. So Joe, you get control of the board.
Okay. All right, let's go. So what do I got to do?
So I'm going to give you Kyler Murray's 2021 RPV for a QB1, which is 6%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have got Aaron Rodgers's, the next number is Aaron Rodgers's 2019 RPV percentage. Is it higher or lower than 6%?
I'm going to say lower.
Oh,
wow.
It was higher, 7%.
Oh, jerk.
Just marginally higher, but higher.
Just marginally.
This could go on a while.
That's all right. That's all right. We'll do our best.
That's okay.
Off the stocks.
That's why I said I did say it was. I did say it was that. So stocks, you get control of the board. So stocks, your first number is Justin Herbert's 2021 ADP is 46. The next number is Kyler Murray's 2020 ADP. Is it higher or lower than 46?
Oh God! It's surely it. Oh, higher.
Correct. 59. Yeah. So let's go to Matt Stafford's 2020 ADP. Higher or lower than 59?
Higher. Higher.
Higher. It is higher than that. So Matt Stafford's 2021 ADP, higher or lower than 99?
I think this is going to be real close. I think it's lower.
Oh,
it's all right. You're two better than me so far. So, all right.
It's higher. Matt Stafford's ADP is 103 for this year. So surprisingly, he had a lower ADP.
But it was close.
It was very close. So, Joe, back to you. So, you're still on Kyler Murray, 2021 RPV.
Okay.
6%.
Mm-hmm.
So, Deshaun Watson's 2019 RPV. Higher or lower than 6%?
I got to think of where he was. Like, is that when he was already back from the injury? Oh, God. It's hard. They all start to blur together. I'm going to say higher.
Oh, much lower. 1%.
Oh, you know why? Because that was coming back from the injury, right? Is that why? That's probably, yeah. I knew, I was like, that was like right after, right before. I can't remember exactly where it was. All right, back to stocks. Right. Go ahead, stocks.
So stocks, here we go.
Three in a row, you win. Let's go, baby.
So so basically your last number was Matt Stafford's ADP of 2020, which was 99.
Right.
Do you want to change that number?
Nope.
Okay. So Deshaun Watson's 2021 ADP as of this morning, is it higher or lower than 99?
I only checked last night, so I've got no idea. I think he's currently 99. He's got to be higher.
He is 104.
Yeah. Okay. I was gonna say, it's got to be the hundreds, I mean, at this point, because nobody
just
wants
about
to tell. So all right, two more and you win.
Two more.
Upstart. Look at him go.
So
wrap it over here.
Baker Mayfield's 2020 ADP, higher or lower than 104?
I don't think. Do you think? I'm not sure.
I do.
Is this a ploy to get back on the board?
No.
I'm going to trust Joey P.
It's a ploy for me to go in my pool.
I'm going to say higher.
It is higher. 122. Yeah. So, stocks, you need this for the win.
Okay.
Jared Goff's 2020 ADP. Is it higher or lower than 122?
I'm going to say he was drafted after Jared Goff.
After Baker Mayfield?
Yeah. After Baker Mayfield last year.
He was. 125th.
There we
Look
go.
At you.
I didn't want to say the wrong thing, but so I went with what was completely true. There was after. I just wanted to go after.
Very good.
Well done, my friend.
You were
well
versed on your ADPs. Joe, I had some crackers in here. Phil Rivers, 2017 RPV as a QB1, minus 3%. Tom Brady's 2021 RPV, minus 4%. That was strange to me. Surely he's going to be a positive this year.
He's not a positive this year. He's not, because he's a QB1. And that's the thing. When you're a QB, like, he's like in the minus 5 range this year. And it's because why? because Mahomes and Prescott and Allen and all those guys just drag that high number so high. It's just an average. That's all RPV is. It gives you the average and then plus or minus in percentages. But, you know, it's not that Tom Brady can't be a good QB1. It's just he ain't as good on a weekly basis as the other guys in terms of scoring.
My personal favorite, Joe, is to reference the 2018 edition of the Fantasy Football Black Book, where you had Mahomes as a 2018 QB2 as 0%.
Yeah.
And you had Andy Dalton as 1% as a QB2. Well, so you predicted Andy Dalton would be better than Mahomes in 2018.
Well, I didn't predict anything. What I told you was when you're drafting him, that's and I want to say at the time in terms of ranking, Mahomes is probably higher for me than a lot of other people had him. And you know what? At the time, like, that's where it is. It's like you can go with the kid who might have all the potential in the world, and maybe he does, or the guy who's that steady veteran that you kind of know what you're getting. But that's where Mahomes was at that point in time in his first season as QB. Nobody knew he would be as transcendent as he was, and thank goodness he is, because the game's better off for it. But yeah, I'll take plenty of L's. That's the other thing too. Nobody ever takes an L. Nobody's ever wrong about anything in the fantasy community. Oh God, of course you're wrong sometimes. I'm right a lot more. It's okay to be wrong. You're a human being. Get over it. Jeez, enough.
Absolutely. And on, you know guys. What? You're always a good sport. And I really appreciate the fact that
Stocks is my daddy.
we'll bring you back. I will make it harder for Stocks next time.
Yeah, I want to play in this ADP thing. I would have swept that one. I was even helping him a little bit. I was like,
I know, I was helping out
a little bit.
I thought RPV, you know, because
you know
I thought
what? But here's the thing, you know, when it comes out in the book, and this is why I do the updates, it does also change throughout the summer. So that's hard. It's like, oh gosh. I mean, I'm literally just throwing darts at what you're giving me, but no excuses. Stocks did it. Well done.
To be honest,
the underdog's always more dangerous. I'm going to be the underdog in Fantasy Feud next week against Tags. If I beat Tags, I promise you this. If I beat Tags in Fantasy Feud, I'm going to buy a shirt and have it made up that said I beat Tags in Fantasy Feud. And I'm going to make him wear one that says Joe's my daddy.
Are you not going to buy him the Aaron Rodgers t-shirt?
It came up on the podcast today about, well, he's a complicated fella, whatever, and I started calling him. I was like, Yates, you're a complicated fella. What do you think about Aaron Rodgers? And then I saw that almost immediately after we recorded and then finished up. But oh God, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a peculiar guy. He always has been, and this is about rubbing their nose in it. That's all this is about. And he's doing a good job of it. And he's embarrassing everybody. And eventually somebody will swing. Eventually he will get his way. I don't think the organization wants to turn the page of Jordan Love quite yet. I really don't. And you know what? You might be Jordan Love on his way out. You might be shocked. Like, you know, like something might happen there, especially after you watch Brady do what he just did. How do you not sit back and go, well, Aaron Rodgers, how long do you want to play? Do you want to play for another 4 years? Do you think you have it in your body? And if so, well, then we will, you know, look, you're going to go from either relevant or not if you're the Packers. That's it. And unfortunately, for fantasy perspective, the biggest loser of that would be Devontae Adams, because he goes from the one overall wide receiver to probably the bottom of wide receiver one, top of wide receiver two.
It is a contract year for him. He could be therefore on the way out next year.
He could, but here's the problem. It's like, you know, you can't control who's throwing the ball to you. You know, if it's Jordan Love throwing the ball to you, I don't care what you want money-wise. You know, it's not going to be the same thing as Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball. And I'm not the biggest Aaron Rodgers guy. I respect him a great deal, but I don't like him. But yeah, I got to say how it is. And Rodgers is a Hall of Famer, and Jordan Love has never thrown a pass in the NFL that mattered. So
you can't control who throws you the ball unless you're Rob Gronkowski. And
that's
you can
true.
Reject a trade to join Tigers.
You can reject it. You can retire instead and then turn around and then go sign a year later. God, you know, you must be you're still on a high, aren't you, from that?
Oh, yeah. I don't
did
think
you pick
go
Tampa
away.
In that Super Bowl show? I don't think – did you? Did you pick the Chiefs?
No, I did actually. And do you know what was funny is
– You did what? Pick who? Who did you
no,
pick?
No, I picked Tampa.
You did, okay.
I had to. I mean, I really kind of shoehorned into it. What was interesting was I talked about this on a national radio show. I was called in to talk about the Buccaneers, and I said, well, you know, with these offensive tackles – All the Buccaneers have to do to win is just bring the pressure, dial up the blitzes,
yep,
and just put the pressure on Mahomes, because these backup tackles can't do it. And they said, oh, well, that's an easy thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it was the easy thing to do, apparently.
Well, yeah, exactly. Just never bet against Tom Brady or Todd Bowles, and you're on the winner. But, you know, even if we go 0-17 this year, I'll take
Who
it.
Who cares? Oh, yeah. No, you've already, it's already a clear win. Tom Brady having fun. What more can you ask for?
And I can't wait for the season to start. I also cannot wait until we bring you back again, because it's just always, always, always a lot of fun having you on. And I'm glad the book's gone back to number one. Let's push some sales here. We're going to give away, hopefully, a few copies. Don't forget to follow Joe. Follow us. And use the hashtag
Team Black Book.
I want to join Team Black Book or there Team Black Book.
Just Team Black Book is good. He's a hashtag Team Black Book. That I'll see for sure.
Absolutely. So do that. Get in on the action. And if you do miss out, still buy the book because it's phenomenal. It's great. Joe, tell everyone where they can interact and talk to you.
First of all, thanks again for having me. It's always one of my favorite shows to do. Hopefully I've convinced Stocks now to change his ways in Superflex leagues. We'll see if that comes to fruition. Doesn't look like it from his face. He seems like he's like, nope, I'm just going to keep plugging away. But you can follow me on Twitter at JoePizzaPS17. You can check me out. Obviously, a Fantasy Pros hosting all the videos and the podcasts there. And of course, the Fantasy Black Book on Amazon in the UK and in the States as well. All over worldwide, that's what we do. It'll be up on Apple in a few weeks too. That process has begun, but it always takes longer. But thanks again for having me on, everybody. It's always fun to talk football and hang out with you guys. It was cool because we talked about strategy today, which, you know, just does not get discussed enough, which is fun to do.
But yeah, couldn't agree more. I think it's so important that, and the strategy changes. People think like, I've got the strategy down.
And then every year it changes because the pool's different.
I mean, we're going to be talking 3 years from now, Joe, and we're going to talk about how irrelevant running backs are in fantasy football because everything's going to be committee-based and everything is going to be more about wide receivers, quarterbacks all pushing up the board, tight ends. There'll be this renaissance of tight ends. Now we have so many good ones in the league. Once they got acclimated and schemed to the right way, that actually running backs might be the position that you fade in the first four rounds. It wouldn't shock me. We'll go back to the year 2000s when that was the case.
It's very possible. The game is evolving always, and you got to evolve with it. Otherwise, you're, you know, that's why the group thing can be dangerous. In some ways, it's good. Other ways, you got to know when to be your own person there and really put the work in, you know.
100%.
It's not that you haven't convinced me, Joe. It's that I think I'm the fantasy football Spider-Man. And when it comes to draft time in Superflex League, Venom comes out and it's all over. That's all I've got. I know what I should be doing. I just don't do it. Rush Nation, you heard Joe. Go over to Amazon, get your copy of the Black Book. And whilst you're over there, if you've got the Black Book and you haven't got the playbook, go grab yourself a copy of our 2021 playbook.
Absolutely.
And if you have got the playbook, grab the Black Book. You know, vice versa. Get them both. Available on Amazon. And if you want a digital copy of ours, it's available on 5yardrush.co.uk. That's about it, Rush Nation. It's Monday night. It's hot. It's muggy. Joe has come on and knocked the ball out of the park once more. Murph, this has been a whole lot of fun. Rush Nation, as always, stay safe. And don't forget, keep rushing.
Live a long, healthy life if you're HIV positive. With the current treatments, we can get patients down to being undetectable.
The array of options is so much greater today.
U equals U. Undetectable equals untransmittable. If someone who's HIV positive, they're taking their medication, they're undetectable, they're not able to pass HIV to their partners. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your HIV treatment is their prevention. Get more information at doitforumc.org.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health
right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.